Radio friends, if you listened to last week, we began a study of a very important verse in the Bible on marriage, Colossians 3, verse 19, where we read, "Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them." Short, straightforward. We saw that a husband has been given by God a wife for life, and that he is to be the head of his wife, that is, the one who is responsible for her and for the marriage. Today we're going to continue, and let's look now at the call of God, what a husband is supposed to do, namely, husbands, love your wives. Now, what does that mean? What is love? Young girls listening, what is love? Is it an emotion that gets hold and sweeps you up and gives you a feeling? Is that all that it is? And men, what is love? Shall we simply say, yeah, what we need around this house a little more is love and things would be better? Is that the way we talk? Well, what is love? Well, there's two passages of the Word of God that will give us the answer. The first is found in the same chapter, Colossians 3, verse 14. We read, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." To love your wife means that we love her with the love of God. Now, the love of God is not a natural commodity. That is, it's not something that grows deep down in your own heart. The love of God is a wonder. The love of God is something that has to be given. It's a gift to you. We read in 1 John 4, "He that loveth is born of God, for God is love." You must be born of God. God must create this love in you by a miracle of his grace. He must put in you the life of Jesus, and then that love must be nurtured and instructed through the Scriptures. So that love is not identical to a human passion. It's not found in the hormones. That's lust. It's not centered in self. Love is not the overwhelming desire to own another person, to possess them, and then to tyrannize them. The Bible says that love is a bond of perfection. Now, what does that mean? A bond, of course, is a union. It's a cleaving together. It's a holding together. The Bible says that love is a union in perfection or holiness. We read in the Bible, God is love. The triune covenant God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they love each other. They are bound together in holiness, in purity, in delight of the truth, in perfect, shameless acceptance of each other. You see, God's love is not dirty. But God's love is to be joined and tied together in the holiness of Jesus Christ. Love is therefore a holy affection for God. It's a tender, loving kindness toward others in the love of God. It's a delight in God and a delight in others. Husbands, love your wife with God's love. That is, stick with her in holy affection. Guard your heart, man. Sexual sins, pornography, the magazine, imagining other women, lust, is the attack upon your heart at its very center, the love of God. Love is knowledge. Jesus loves us, we know that, and that love is always knowledge. He knows us. And therefore, to love your wife, husband, means that your call from God is to know her and to learn how to express your love to her, to learn her language of love. Maybe you wanted to express your love to her and you bought her some flowers. You came home with this beautiful bouquet of flowers and you came in as she was changing the diapers and the other kids were hanging on her on her legs, and she said, "Oh, well, how nice." And she set it aside, and she didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it right then and there, and you were hurt, and you say, "Oh, well, how cold. Here I bring her this beautiful gift." Well, maybe it would have been better that you had expressed your love that night by emptying the dishwasher or being help to her. Not maybe, that's the way you should have done it. Or you want to show your love to your wife and you say, "I'm going to give her a hug." And she responds, "Not now, leave me alone, I'm too busy." And you're hurt again and you say, "Oh boy, this is a hard woman to love." Well, maybe then you should just leave her a little note on the nightstand when you get up and leave for work in the morning. The point is, you have to learn her, and you have to learn to love her in the way that gets across to her. The second passage which will teach us about love is in Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Now that says everything. That says it all, doesn't it? How are we to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her? Maybe you say to me today, "But I really didn't have a good example of how to love a wife. My heart was torn in divorce. Or my parents didn't know the Lord. Or it's my makeup. I don't communicate. I don't really know how to express love. I don't know how to love." Well, is it not true that when every Christian man gets married, he thinks that it should not be too hard to love, but he finds out rather soon that due to his sin and the sin of his wife, that he doesn't even know how of himself to love. Well, then listen. Listen as God speaks. Believe in your heart that God speaks to you now. Love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, I don't know the state of your marriage at this point. I don't know whether you're getting along or whether there's tension and distance in your marriage. I don't know if this morning you went to church bickering all the way in front of your kids, or you went as you ought to, with reverence in your heart to worship the Lord as a family. I don't know these things, but I do know this, that at this moment, God has prepared his word for you and for me. And here it is. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That applies to every husband listening at this very moment. God is saying that to you now. You want to know how to love your wife? Then open your Bible, get down on your knees, and learn of the mystery of how Christ loved the church, how Christ loved you, and then go and do thou likewise. Doctrine determines life. Yes, it does. How you understand God and how you understand Christ and how you understand the love of Christ will determine how you set about living with your wife. If you don't love your wife, if you don't show reasonable expressions of love for your wife, don't walk around saying, "Oh, I love God and the Reformed faith and the sovereignty of God." Don't say that. You don't. You do not. If you know God and you know the love of Christ, you are to love her as Christ loved you. How do you know that love of Christ deep down in your heart right now? Well, that will determine how you're going to love your wife. And I'd like to interject here the great need of the Church of Jesus Christ to stand fast in doctrine. This is a great burden, a great need in the church. Stand fast in doctrine. I know that immediately whenever the church wants to insist on truth, that people say, "Oh, how cold. Will you please be relevant?" Listen, The most relevant church is that church which holds fast to the truth of God's Word. That's a relevant, in-touch church. We must know the love of God in Jesus Christ. We must be rooted and grounded in the truth of the Scriptures. Doctrine determines life. Do you accept in your church the idea that the love of God is conditional? That is, God loves those who first love Him. Do you say, oh, well, let's not get hung up over these points of Calvinism. We all know that God is great and it's all going to turn out in the end. So, yeah, it doesn't matter if they say that the love of God is conditional. Do you accept in your church the idea that the grace of God is resistible? That is, God might want and would desire, but He can't until man first accepts Him. Do you believe in your church a conditional covenant? That is, the bond of fellowship is a conditional fellowship. God will not be a covenant faithful God unless you first, by your faith, make an agreement with Him. Do you believe that? Well, if you do, if you believe any of those that I've just mentioned or anything similar to it, then, and I don't say this in gloat, I say this in weeping, then you have to say goodbye to the marriages of the church. No, you have to say goodbye to the marriages of your sons and of your daughters in these evil days, because doctrine determines life. The truth of the Scripture is that the love of God is changeless. The covenant of His grace is unconditional. His grace is irresistible. He abides faithful. That's the way He loves. He loves faithfully. He loves particularly. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's particular love. God loves enduringly. God loves sacrificially. God loves forgivingly. God loves faithfully. Do you believe that? All right. Now go love your wife that way. The foundation of marriage is laid for a little boy and a little girl in catechism class, in the doctrines of the church. Let's apply that. As Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that means that the love for a wife must be sacrificial. Remember, husbands, you are to walk before God and be perfect, and therefore you must love as Christ loved. And you must be willing to love her sacrificially. Christ gave Himself for the church. You must be willing to die to yourself. Now, by nature, we live for ourselves, and we look at that wife, and we look at her as something for ourselves. We want to pride ourselves in her beauty, or we say she exists for our ease. She's there to make my life pleasant. That's the way you think by nature. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. You have been made a husband in order that Christ can teach you the dynamics of discipleship. What are the dynamics of discipleship? If any man follow me, let him deny himself. Love for your wife will mean that you will subjugate your feelings, your wishes, your dreams, your desires, and you will give yourself for the good of your wife, that God might be everything to her. Isn't that the heart of it? God nowhere said that you have to give your wife a home with 7 bedrooms. God nowhere said that you have to give your family a car for each child and member. God nowhere said that you have to clothe your wife in the latest and best. But God did say that you are to give yourself for her. And that's what she needs. She needs to rest in your love. She needs to know that you will listen to her, that you will pray for her, that you will protect her, that you will calm her fears with God's word. Secondly, we are to love our wife in a way that we take the initiative, as Christ loved the church. Christ did not wait for the church to love Him. If Christ had waited for us to love Him, where would you be? That means that you take the initiative as a husband. You do that. You don't sit looking at her on the 50-yard line, both of you coming 50 yards and saying, well, all right, I will if you will. You're not in competition with that woman. The question is not who's going to give in. The question is, are you going to be the head, and are you going to love as Christ loved the church? That's the question. Don't compete with her. You go and you initiate the reconciliation. You do that. Do that by the love of God. God sent forth His Son. He sent Him forth. And He says, now you go to her. Are there any things in marriage which you said, well, first she has to do this and then? Is that the way you talk? You're going to wait her out? How dwelleth the love of God in you? Thirdly, the love of God will be exclusive. Christ loved His church and gave Himself for her. Marriage is an exclusive bond. You can't put a third party in there. There's no room for a third party. You are to love her, the woman that God gave you. The book of Proverbs says, be satisfied with her breasts. Why wilt thou be ravished with another? Marriage is an exclusive bond. And finally, that love for your wife will be enduring. Will Christ forsake His church? Will God alter the vow of His covenant? Will He set His bridegroom aside, His bride rather aside? No. Listen, the Scripture tells us that the whole universe holds together on one absolute truth. You know what that one absolute truth is that holds everything together right now? It's not some principle about thermodynamics or whatever it may be. This is what holds the whole universe together. But evermore, the love of God is changeless, still shown to those who look to Him in fear. The love of God is the one unchangeable, sustaining truth. God has loved His people. We live in a culture where the message is repeatedly conveyed to us, I love you because, I love you until, I love you when, I love you if. Now listen, men of God, listen, women, listen, children and young people of God. Every disciple of Jesus Christ, right now in this present culture, who seeks to exemplify the Lord's love in Christ, we repeat to our spouse, in word and in deed, honey, I love you, period. No strings attached, no conditions, unreservedly. And I promise to show you and to express to you that kind of love each and every day. And why? Because in the midst of a sinful, selfish, self-centered, unloving, and unlovely world, God has loved me, and I will love you as He loved me. Love your wives, and be not bitter against them. That warning is not just pulled out of the air, but that's a sin to which husbands are prone. Bitterness, resentment, and dealing with them then in a harsh way, expressed in frustration at her, especially because she's a woman. It can happen this way. You had a hard day and you come home crabby. You're carrying the office on your shoulder, or that employee gave you a hard time. And she greets you at the door with her needs and the problems with the kids, and you snap at her, and you stomp off, and you go into the living room. Or you told her how to keep a checkbook. You told her what to say when the realtor called. You told her what to do when the red light comes on in the car. You told her to put your books by your chair. And she didn't do it. And you say to her, that's the dumbest thing anyone... And you go on and on. And then, after the argument and the explosion, you say, well, she doesn't meet my needs. She doesn't fill the bill. And you sulk, and you feel sorry for yourself. Or it can happen this way. She in love admonishes you. As a wife seeking to show honor and respect to you, she confronts you with respect to your sin. She says, honey, this is wrong. And you resent it. And you try to bulldoze right over her. And you shift the blame and you turn it upside down on the weaker vessel. And you say, well, you know, it's really your fault. If only you would, I would not. Stop it. What happened? What is the source of all the ruckus that I've explained here that can happen so easily? What's the source of it? Do you say, well, she... No, no, that's not the source of it. What happened, man? This is what happened. You did not remember in your soul that you are her husband, her head, who is to love her as Christ loved the church. That's the problem. The problem is with you. You have to lead her. You have to be patient. You have to think of her first. You have to behave like Jesus Christ and be not bitter against her. That means you'll confess your sins. Don't pile them up. Husbands and wives, don't pile up your sins against each other, not confessing them. That's just like a messy house. You put something down, you say, well, I'm going to get to that in a little bit. You keep doing it, and at the end of the month, you can hardly move through the house, and you say, look at this mess. We don't even know where to begin. How did this happen? Well, that's the way it happens with sin. And that's why, before the sun goes down, confess your faults and pray together. I believe that. That is true, and eternity will verify the words. Couples who pray together stay together. And still more, you want to be a husband? Listen to the word of God in Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. And above all these things, put on love. You want to be a husband? Then put those things on. And God will bless you in ways that He alone can show you. And God will say, I see my covenant reflected in that man, in that husband. And I will be with him. And I will honor him. Father in heaven, apply thy word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.